The term that I've used in terms of GMOs is that it's a wicked problem. And by that, what I mean is that GMOs are inherently political and social, and that calls for labeling, whether you're talking about GMO labeling or any other labeling, is always political. There are always social and economic interests at stake. And I think proponents of GMO labeling, would consider themselves concerned about the science as well. But if you look at the arguments that they're using and that the arguments that have really resonated with segments of consumers, it has been nothing to do with science. It's really been arguments that are more rights-based type arguments, saying that consumers should have a right to know what they eat, that consumers should be able to choose whether they want to buy GMO foods or not, that labels would allow greater transparency in the food system. So they've really framed it in a way that has very little to do with science. They don't talk about risk, they don't talk about food safety.
So, are they using the GMO labelling debate as almost a proxy for other concerns they have about corporate agriculture and big food companies?
Absolutely. And I think, again, that's why it's problematic to just imagine that you can solve this issue, this very, very contentious issue, by talking about science. I mean, you can try and argue that GMOs are safe, but that is not going to resolve the debate because the organizations who are mobilizing around this and framing the debate really are concerned, as you said, about much, much broader issues to do with agriculture and the agri-food system. They're concerned about, the environmental impacts of pesticides. They're concerned about sustainability issues. So they're really using the GMOs because it's been a way that they can connect with consumers in a way that other debates to do with the agri-food system, like farm labour, hasn't resonated with consumers. So I think this is, I sort of argue that it's been a little bit of political opportunism on their part.
One indication that it really has touched consumers is the moves by some companies in the US to voluntarily label their products as non-GMO. At what kind of extent is this happening in the United States?
I actually think this is the most interesting development that's taking place. I mean, I'm not convinced that we're going to have mandatory GMO labeling in the US. I think it's too difficult and there's going to be too much resistance to it. But I think what you have seen happen is the move by food retailers, fast food industry, restaurants like Whole Foods, Chipotle, Panera Bread, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, who are either refusing to carry GMO products, like McDonald's has said that they're not going to carry this new GMO potato that's been developed, or they're going to label all the products in their store, such as Whole Foods have said by 2018, all foods must be labeled GMO. And I think in many ways they're responding to this call for non-GMO, and they see it as an opportunity. They don't really care about the science either. For them, this is a great marketing opportunity. They can create this niche around non-GMO products that's exceptionally valuable for them. And they can, use it as a way to say, look, we've developed our own brand that's non-GMO because we want to be transparent. We want to respond to consumer demand. So I think it's really good for their image. It's both profitable and good for their image. And one of the things I've argued is that I think in some ways, if we see this trend continue, that it will in fact settle the debate, because I think that most consumers don't care about GMOs. They don't know about GMOs and they're not interested in buying non-GMO products. But I think there is a small segment of consumers, what I call political or ethical consumers, who do care, who do read labels, who, want to buy local foods, non-GMO, natural, organic, and so forth. And I think if you can satisfy their need, which I think is what these food retailers are doing, then I think it's going to be much harder to mobilize people around having a mandatory labeling law, because people are going to say, well, we don't need this mandatory law because I can already go to my grocery store and get non-GMO products.
Is there a risk, though, that there's a higher probability that someone who knows nothing about GMOs is more likely to become someone who's scared of them rather than someone who's for them?
That's one of the arguments that gets made by proponents of GMOs. They're concerned that if you have this label, that people will, think that GMO products are different than non-GMO products. They'll think that they're unsafe or they're risky and so forth. And I'm just not sure that there's enough evidence to support that. I mean, one thing is that when you have labels, there's different ways that you can do labels. So if you had a label on the front of your packet with skull and crossbones and it said, contains GMOs, then that would be a very scary thing. But you could have something like they do in Brazil. It's a very discreet label that's a symbol. And so consumers who know what that means can read it and go, okay, that means that it contains GMO and I don't want to buy it. But no one else would know what it meant. And so it wouldn't have this broader negative effect on people.
Does the debate that's occurred around GMOs, do you see it has allegories with other debates that where the science has kind of been lost in the politics? And I'm thinking mainly about climate change here.
Absolutely. And people do make those arguments that it's very similar. And again, I think some people would argue climate change is similarly a wicked problem, that there are clear scientific issues involved in the debate around climate change that we can argue and talk about. But there's also really big economic interests at stake. And so what you find in all these contentious issues, another one we're having in the US at the moment is around vaccines, with some parents refusing to vaccinate their children, which is alarming people and people saying, they're not thinking about the science. And I think, again, what you find is that when there are political or economic interests, people are going to use science as a tactic or a strategy to try and, win their argument or, argue against their opponents. And I think it's a responsibility of the scientific community to keep talking about the science, having discussions about the science. But I also think we have to acknowledge, and I'm a sociologist, that there are always social and ethical issues, and we have to talk about those as well. So I think if we just talk about the science, we're not going to get very far, and we have to engage with what are the ethical concerns people have, what are the social dilemmas that people are facing, what are the different economic interests, and we have to talk about those as well.